I'm proud to be a Jew, but that's way too Jewish for me.
Shalom, and welcome to the Two Jewish Radio Show with Rabbi Sam Kohan and friends, a weekly serving of everything Jewish. We'll have a great hour together of news, music, comedy, and conversation. Our guest this morning is singer and songwriter Neshama Karlbach, the outstanding Jewish music performer who'll be here in Tucson this week singing with the Green Pastures Baptist Church Choir at the Fox Theater. We'll also have visits from our two Jewish expert on the international scene, Tom Price, and our maven on Israel, Guy Gelbert. Please email your comments to us at twojewishradio@yahoo.com or visit us on the web at twojewishradio.com. And now, here's Rabbi Sam Kohan and Two Jewish.
Shalom. Music has the capacity to celebrate our lives, but also in a unique way to sanctify them. For literally thousands of years, Jewish music has expressed holiness in a wide and rich variety of ways. Sometimes it's the words of prayers themselves, expressed with Jewish depth and concentration of the heart. Sometimes it's the folk sensibility of Jewish song, explored with joy or pathos. And sometimes it's a merger of contemporary musical trends married to classical texts. As a cantor as well as a rabbi, I've long enjoyed exploring Jewish music in all of its many permutations, from the most authentic to some of the silliest shticks. All have some capacity to express the soul and heart of Jews, and each style and arrangement brings something unique to the continuing joy of Jewish music. One of the most important trends in Jewish music over the past 40 years and more has been the creation of a kind of neo-Hasidic musical tradition that began, more or less, with the late great Rabbi Shlomo Karlbach, may his memory be a blessing, and has permeated every movement and style of Judaism, from Jerusalem to Tucson, from Sydney to Moscow, from Reform to Orthodox, and back again. But neo-Hasidic music itself, with its singable, catchy, refrain-oriented tunes that you just can't get out of your head, has also been transforming over time, influenced by new and often surprising arrangements and artists. Our guest this morning, Neshama Karlbach, is Reb Shlomo Karlbach's daughter, and a previous guest here on Two Jewish. She's back today with a wonderful new version of her heartfelt sound. Her very name means soul, by the way, Neshama, working now with a Baptist choir from New York, the Green Pastures Baptist Church Choir. To play us in this morning, here is their composite version of one of Shlomo Karlbach's great songs, his setting of Psalm 121, Esaenai, in a unique and stirring rendition.
Na, 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 na.
That was our guest this morning, Neshama Karlbach, singing Heaven and Earth, Esaenai, with the Green Pastures Baptist Church Choir on their CD, Higher and Higher. You know, being a congregational rabbi has its rewards, but it also has its challenges. These days, I go from baby naming to funeral to bar mitzvah to wedding and the usual round of life cycles, often all of them within just a day or two. I usually like, even love, the variety and diversity, but sometimes that combination occurs along with many hospital visits, counseling sessions, community events, and of course Shabbat services and sermons and teaching and fundraising and endless meetings. Well, can be actually overwhelming. It's at times like this that I enjoy thinking about those best of times on our Jewish calendar and the festivals that are coming up. Hanukkah has long been a personal favorite, and to continue our pre-Hanukkah preview of songs for the Festival of Lights, here's a new one. It's from Broadway composer Stephen Schwartz, and it's called We Are Lights.
A lamp that kept on burning, a miracle they say, but the world has kept on turning. Are there miracles today?
Everyone who lights the candles has a bit of ancient spark.
We are miracles, lighting up the dark.
We are lights, lights of memory.
We
That was more of our pre-Hanukkah musical preview. This one from Broadway composer Stephen Schwartz, a lovely song called We Are Lights. And now I must remind you that there are only 10 more shopping days until Hanukkah begins on the evening of December 20th. Of course, since Hanukkah goes on for 8 nights and days, that does give you the opportunity to take advantage of those after Christmas sales this year. On a more serious note, our guest this morning is not marked down to any bargain basement level at all. It's the wonderful Jewish Hasidic soul singer Neshama Karlbach. We'll hear about her new sound and all of the wonderful music she's making when we come back in a few moments on Too Jewish.
Hi, Joe Spina, Mama's Pizza. People sometimes ask me if I ever go to other restaurants and try their pizza. The answer is definitely yes. In fact, the other day I went to another restaurant to sample their pizza. So how did it compare to Mama's? Well, first of all, the crust tasted sweet. By that I mean they added extra sugar to the dough. At Mama's, we don't add extra sugar to any of our food. The blend of fresh, natural ingredients we use makes our food taste, well, fresh and natural. Now, there's one more thing I noticed about the other pizza. Based on the portion size and price, I paid about 1.5 times more for it than one of ours. In this economy, that's a pretty big deal. So I guess one reason I try other restaurants is that it makes me realize Mama's Pizza is one of the best. And that's a very sweet feeling. Mama's Pizza with 4 convenient locations. Check them out at mamasfamous.com. Now repeat after me. Mama's Pizza!
Ready to move your child to an outstanding private school? Tucson Hebrew Academy, THA, is accepting a limited number of enrollments for January 2012, mid-year. THA's kindergarten through 8th grade integrated curriculum centers on rigorous academics infused with Jewish values and ethics, thereby providing a well-rounded educational experience. While many schools have cut the all-important arts, physical education, and health classes even, THA is integrating them into the curriculum in a safe, nurturing environment. THA graduates capable, confident students poised for the next chapter in their lives, prepared to enter high school, ready to contribute to the larger community. Tucson Hebrew Academy is an award-winning Blue Ribbon school. Last year, THA awarded over $700,000 in financial assistance to students and their families. A great education is more affordable than you think, and the best education comes from THA. Space is limited. Call 529-3888 today to register or arrange a private tour. That's 529-3888 or visit www.thaaz.org. We're delighted to welcome to Too Jewish our guest this morning, singer Neshama Karlbach. She began training as a singer and actress at the ripe age of 5 and sang with her father, the late Rabbi Shlomo Karlbach of blessed memory, from the time she was 15 years old. Her professional career began soon after her father passed away in 1994. She has sung all around the country and the world, and she has been singing recently with a Baptist choir. We'll hear more about that in a little bit. Good morning. Welcome, Neshama.
Thank you. Good morning to you.
So, how would you succinctly describe your music?
You know, the truth is I always have a hard time describing my music because it's, I think it encompasses so many elements. So So we have the folky element, we have the singer-songwriter element, we have the rock-slash-jazz feel of my amazing band, and now with the gospel choir we have the gospel feel. So sort of a fusion of so many different kinds of world. There's the world thing, there's the Hebrew thing, there's the Jewish thing. But how I would really just describe my music, I would just say it's really good. I gotta be honest.
I would agree. You know, this sounds kind of silly, but even hokey and cliche, but, you know, soulful is always the word that comes to mind when I listen to you sing. It's your name. Do you like that label?
I do. I really do. I appreciate it. It speaks to me. It speaks to my soul.
Tell us a little bit about how the collaboration began with the Baptist Choir.
Rabbi Avi Weiss, do you know him?
Of Riverdale.
He's one of my spiritual leaders since my father left the world. He had a relationship with Reverend Hambrick and was inviting them. I think when I met the Reverend, I think they had come to his shul 5 Martin Luther King days. Years. Does that make sense?
Yeah. 5 Martin Luther King years, anniversary days.
Exactly.
In a row. Okay.
Thank you. To Avi Shul, which was sort of a cutting-edge thing to have, you know, women and men of a gospel choir singing on the bima of an Orthodox shul.
Indeed.
And yet there they were, and Avi invited me to sing 1 year with the choir, and there was an explosive reaction to them singing my father's music and all of us singing together, and they were already familiar with my father's song, Brothers and Friends,
L'mana chavarei.
Right, but they didn't know who my father was, they didn't know who I was. So that was the first year. It was just an amazing experience. And the second year, I was invited back again, and the Reverend announced, this year we're going to make a record. It was kind of sweet. We started talking about, yeah, we should do things more often. This is so beautiful. And then we started getting called for shows. People were saying, well, I hear you're working with a gospel choir, which I kind of wasn't. You know, it was just we had done 2 songs together. And then we got signed to our label, and then they got picked up by Sony, and then we made this record, and then the Grammy Awards. And it's been sort of an amazing, very organic, slow-moving process, but one that's been incredibly meaningful of us coming together and then people in the world acknowledging the beauty of the collaboration and really encouraging us to move forward and to take it more seriously. And thank God, in the last year, we've been selling out all over the place. We've been bringing people together of all faiths, really doing the spiritual work that the Reverend and I really put into this work. Really just wanting to bring unity and love and just togetherness. And we see it happening in front of our eyes, and we could not be more delighted or more proud or more touched by people's reactions. And we pray it just continues to grow and that we can be a voice of just of love and of brotherhood and of hope for the world.
And in a world that certainly needs it. We will talk much more with Neshama Karlbach when we come back this morning on Too Jewish.
Choosing the proper care for your mother, father, or other loved one isn't easy. David Shackman and his wife Ann are New Yorkers who recently found a home at Handmaker, Tucson's premier provider of assisted living and senior care.
I'm 88 years old. My wife is 86. And we like staying in Handmaker because people here are very courteous and the atmosphere is nice.
Well, I like the program here because they have entertainers, have a bingo. They made a luau with Hawaiian dances.
Handmaker gives their son, Ken, peace of mind.
I know that they are going to get good service and the staff will treat them as friends.
Handmaker, centrally located on Rosemont just south of Grant, includes 1 and 2-bedroom suites, cozy studios with patios and balconies, and Tucson's most caring staff. Call 881-2323.
The food here is excellent. It's as good as any good restaurant in New York City.
For a consultation and tour, call 881-2323 or go to handmaker.org. Safety. It's a word we take for granted at home and at the workplace, but sometimes safety isn't a sure thing. Environmental Strategies, Inc. is an environmental remediation company that's been promoting safe living in Arizona since 1989. Environmental Strategies specializes in asbestos and lead abatement, mold remediation, and industrial cleaning. In addition, they have a building and remodeling division that makes it convenient for clients to get all their services from one contractor. Environmental Strategies jobs range from seam tape removal in a single-family home to insulation removal in a Challenger Learjet aircraft and everything in between. So if you're in need of asbestos or lead removal, mold remediation, industrial cleaning, or top-notch general contracting services, call Environmental Strategies today at 884-1114.
Estimates and bids are free and confidential. Ken Goodman is the president, and he'd love to talk with you about your project. Environmental Strategies, serving all of Arizona since 1989. Call 884-1114.
If you have a question, comment, compliment, or criticism, Kvetch or Kvel, please email us at TooJewishRadio, T-O-O Jewish Radio at yahoo.com, or visit our website at TooJewishRadio.com. You can hear all past and present shows through the website or downloading us at the Apple iTunes Store as very popular Jewish podcasts. The Temple Emmanuel Pilgrimage Trip to Israel with Rabbi Sam Kohan is set for May 30th to June 10th of 2012. If you're interested in going with me on this fantastic journey to Israel, email TooJewishRadio at yahoo.com or call 520-327-4501 for more information and an itinerary. We continue our pre-Hanukkah musical preview today with Adam Sandler's now classic Hanukkah song.
Put on your yarmulke, here comes Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the festival of lights. Instead of one day of presents, we have eight crazy nights. When you feel like the only kid in town without a Christmas tree, here's a list of people who are Jewish, just like you and me. David Lee Roth lights the menorah. So do James Conkirk Douglas and the late Dinah Shore. Guess who eats together at the Carnegie Deli? Bowser from Shanana and Arthur Fonzarelli. Paul Newman's half Jewish, Goldie Hawn's half too. Put them together, what a fine looking Jew. You don't need deck the halls or jingle bell rock, cause you can spin a dreidel with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, both Jewish. Put on your yarmulke, it's time for Hanukkah. The owner of the Seattle Supersonicas celebrate Hanukkah. O.J. Simpson, not a Jew. But guess who is? Hall of Famer Rod Carew. He converted. We got Ann Landers and her sister, dear Abby. Harrison Ford's a quarter Jewish, not too shabby. Some people think that Ebenezer Scrooge is, well, he's not, but guess who is? All three Stooges. So many Jews are in showbiz. Tom Cruise isn't, but I heard his agent is. Tell your friend Veronica, it's time to celebrate Hanukkah. Hope I get a harmonica on this lovely, lovely Hanukkah. So drink your gin and tonica. Have a happy, 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 happy Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah.
That was Adam Sandler, my congregant last Yom Kippur, by the way, singing his first initial version of the Hanukkah song, a very silly one. It's getting to be close to time for latkes. And don't miss the greatest Hanukkah on Earth celebration this afternoon at Temple Emmanuel at 4:30 p.m., the largest and best Hanukkah observance in all of Arizona. It's a pre-Hanukkah celebration today, 4:30 at Temple Emmanuel, 225 North Country Club Road, free and open to all and great fun. Call 327-4501 for more information or just show up. The greatest Hanukkah on Earth at Temple Emmanuel this afternoon at 4:30. We welcome our expert on Israel, our maven, Guy Gelbart, head of the Weintraub Israel Center. Good morning, Guy. Boker Tov.
Boker Tov, Rabbi. And Early Happy Hanukkah.
Chag Hanukkah Sameach, almost. We're doing our big, greatest Hanukkah celebration at Temple Emanuel today. You have a pre-Hanukkah celebration, since Hanukkah is so much later in December. You have a pre-Hanukkah celebration yourself on the 18th. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, it's on Sunday 18th at the JCC. All families are invited. It will be a lot of family fun activities. We're going to bring sufganiyot, which is the Jewish version of a donut, I guess.
It's like a jelly donut made much less healthy.
Yeah, but much better flavor. Much better flavor. And the kids will have the opportunity to draw on their own sufganiyah with food stuff, with eatable drawings. And they'll make their, it could be a smiley, it could be a clown, could be a menorah, could be a chanukiah. By the way, that's an interesting point. A lot of Americans, Jews, are calling the chanukiah menorah and vice versa, but actually they're not the same.
Right.
And the number of candles are not the same. So for Hanukkah, we have the chanukiah. And I think a lot of Americans find it hard because of the right?
Yeah. That's why Adam Sandler has a Hanukkah song instead of a Hanukkah song.
Which is a great song.
It is great, but boy, I could have taught him how to say when he was getting ready for bar mitzvah.
Yeah. And we'll have a lot of fun and we'll celebrate. We'll do some latkes together. We'll see some shows about the story of Hanukkah, about the Maccabim and the Yevanim, the Greece and the Jews that were fighting, and all of those stories that many of us know and grew up, and try to teach our young ones the same stories and the same thought. And Hanukkah is relatively a very modern holiday, and for me it's a very, very Zionist holiday. Because in many ways, that's a holiday that symbolized the thought of being a free people in our land. That was the whole idea. We were fighting for freedom. And in many ways, modern Israel is a fulfillment of that dream, of that vision, to be a free people in our land. And those are actually the words that...
Liotam chofshi be'artzeinu.
Exactly. The words of the tikva, of the Israeli anthem. And I think that's something very strong, because when you think of those words, you kind of think, what's the meaning of each and every word? Because what does it mean to be liot am, to be a people? What does it mean to be free, to be chofshi? And what does it mean to be be'artzeinu, in our land? And each and every word there can open a full discussion, a full class. You could talk about that for years and years and years. Well, happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah, and we'll talk next week.
Sure thing.
When we come back, we'll hear from our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price, and get the old Jewish joke of the week. We visit weekly with the great restaurateur Janos Wilder of Janos Restaurant, J-Bar, and Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails. Good morning, Janos.
Good morning, Rabbi.
J-Bar is a great place to go for the holidays. What's special about it?
I think the things that's special about it, it's so casual. The food speaks of where we live. Great views of the city. Phenomenal margaritas. Inexpensive, casual, spontaneous. Friends in from out of town. You don't feel like cooking. Kids are in. Come on over to J-Bar.
My wife's favorite are the fish tacos, which are not like the fish tacos you get everywhere else. They're just spectacular.
No, we like to do things a little bit differently, and I think a little bit better, and just really celebrate the flavors of where we live.
A great fun place for a holiday meal or any time. What's the best way to get a hold of J-Bar?
Give us a call, 615-6100. Go online, visit our website, www.janos.com.
That's JANOS.com. Thanks, Janos.
Thank you, Rabbi.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox, is second to none. From traditional services to the unique, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
We welcome our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Rabbi.
So Dominic Strauss-Kahn has been in the news a lot, sometimes not too favorably. Now there's rumors he might replace Stanley Fischer running the Israeli economy. But you know a great deal about this French political leader who is supposed to be in line to become the next president of France.
Right. I could have sworn that we talked about this in an earlier broadcast, but since you assure me that we didn't, let me tell you that when I worked at the U.S. Embassy in Paris, my principal job was to cover the two major parties of the left, which were the dwindling French Communist Party and the powerful, actually then in office, Socialist Party with President Mitterrand. And Dominique at the time was this very bright guy who'd gone to Berkeley, spoke good English, was Jewish, and was part of the sort of kitchen cabinet of President Mitterrand, as were a lot of other Jews of North African origin. It was interesting how Mitterrand surrounded himself with a kind of brain trust. And at the time, Dominique was not married to his current wife, Anne Sinclair, who was a major TV personality in her own right, sort of a woman newscaster and probably the top one in France. But one thing that people who don't follow his career closely don't know about his wife is that she is an American citizen born in New York City to a father whose code name when he was a resistance hero in France during World War II was Sinclair. And he was given that name by his handlers in England, and he kept it when he moved to America instead of his real name, which was something like Rosenstein or some typical Ashkenazic Jewish
name. Right.
But Mr. Sinclair, or as his code name was during the war, just Sinclair, married a fabulously beautiful woman who had posed as an artist model for all kinds of great artists, Picasso and whatever, in the 20s, plus or minus a bit. And they had often, as poor, starving artists, paid her with their works.
Their paintings.
So, their paintings, exactly. So she had an incredible art collection, which her daughter Anne inherited. And that is the foundation of the fortune that Dominique Strauss-Kahn certainly did not amass in public service. He was never corrupt, certainly not anywhere near the extent to which most French politicians are. And, you know, during the whole flurry of allegations that flew around about him in New York, I was fairly convinced that, no, you know, rape is committed by men who don't like women and who are angry. And Dominique is a great, what the French call séducteur. I mean, he's a flirt and he's a seductor and he's a womanizer, but he's not a guy who hates women or would be aggressive towards them. I have a great campaign story to tell you from when I helped him campaign door to door because I wanted to really observe the inner workings of a French political campaign. And then we can talk about his connections to Israel, the World Bank, whatever, if you want to, maybe next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tom. Fascinating start. We'll talk next week.
I look forward to it.
It's time now for our old Jewish joke of the week, Jewish humor, your Bubby and Zadie knew, brought to you by Too Jewish as a public service just for the holidays. As the El Al plane settled down at Ben Gurion Airport in Israel, the voice of the captain came on. Please remain seated with your seatbelt fastened until this plane is at a complete standstill and the seatbelt signs have been turned off. To those of you now standing in the aisle, struggling to pull the Hanukkah presents you bought overseas out of the overhead compartments, we wish you a happy Hanukkah. And to those of you who have remained politely in your seats, we wish you a Merry Christmas. That was the old Jewish joke of the week, special feature Too Jewish just for you. You should live and be well. In a change of pace and literary emphasis, Joseph will prove to be the principal character of the last four weekly portions in Genesis, a transition towards the long narrative of Moses that fills the rest of the Torah. Interestingly, the Joseph story has been called the first truly modern piece of literature, rich with contemporary authorial techniques in the delineation of character and plot. Each segment ends in a cliffhanger, and the interplay of storylines and locations make the whole narrative vibrant and rich and exceedingly compelling. This modernity of style is particularly impressive since the book of Genesis was written, about 2,500 years ago or more. In Vayeshev, Miketz, Vayigash, and Vayechi, these four last portions, we find temptation and cunning, nobility and baseness, carelessness and probity, all juxtaposed and then thoughtfully counterpointed. The foolish learn wisdom. The wicked grow to see the error of their ways. The impulsive learn restraint. And nothing is ever quite so simple as it seems. It's a great story, and it's great writing. Joseph is one of the truly spectacular figures in the whole Bible. Brilliant, talented, arrogant, gifted with both remarkable vision and tremendous administrative skill. He is a youth of promise, and then a man of fate and determination, who survives enormous trauma to reshape two nations' intertwined destinies. A remarkably contemporary character, Joseph is a brazen, spoiled boy who transforms into a subtle and deep man. But it's not an easy process. The Joseph story stretches through a month of Torah readings, but it begins with a bang in this week's portion of Vayeshev. At the commencement of our Sedra, our ancestor Jacob's beloved wife Rachel has died in childbirth, and in a pained overcompensation, Jacob spoils Rachel's oldest son Joseph, giving him a famous coat of many colors, perhaps really an embroidered tunic, and using him as a tattletale spy on his older, tougher brothers. The brothers' revenge is swift. Away from their father's eye, they capture him and sell him into slavery in Egypt, tell their father that a wild animal has killed him. After adventures that demonstrate Joseph's newfound virtue and spectacularly bad luck, this week's portion ends with Joseph stuck in an Egyptian prison, his father Jacob in mourning in Canaan, all hope seemingly lost. Tune in next week, same bat time, same bat channel, to see what happens next. Well, there are two central messages in Vayeshev. The first we have heard in Genesis earlier, but it is now reiterated poignantly. Our children are all precious. Favoring the good one does no one any good. Treat each with love, as though, in fact, each child was truly an only child in receiving our love. That's the Jewish way to parent, successfully. The second and greatest abiding message of the Joseph story is that God's plan will work, but we aren't always party to why or how long it'll take. Transformation, moral and intellectual, must occur first. We struggle and sometimes suffer in order to learn what we probably should have known from the start, that God is the true source of all good and of all understanding. For Joseph, his brothers, and his father, wisdom comes hard won. Perhaps, reading Vayeshev, we can learn from their mistakes and so avoid the dramatic reverses of this great story. And then we may gain the wisdom to grow and change for the better. When we come back on Two Jewish, our guest Neshama Karlbach, daughter of Rabbi Shlomo Karlbach and inheritor of his musical legacy, will tell us why she chose to sing with a Christian Baptist choir and what it demonstrates. When we return in a few moments on Two Jewish.
When you're looking to buy or sell your home, you probably want Tucson's best realtor on your side. That realtor is Jill Rich. As real estate values change, it's comforting to know that Jill Rich knows Tucson's real estate landscape. She follows the trends. She knows the neighborhoods. She even knows how to help you find financing. But most importantly, Jill cares. It doesn't matter if you're looking for a starter home or a castle. It's like having your bubby in the realty business. For sellers, Jill will develop a personal marketing program that'll sell your house fast. There's no one who knows Tucson real estate better. You can reach Jill Rich at Long Realty's River and Campbell office. Call 349-0174. Jill Rich, providing strong representation in a caring way. Call 349-0174.
Attention, Arizona taxpayers. You can help send children to our community's Jewish schools without it costing you a dime. Direct your tax dollars to JETCO, the Jewish Education Tax Credit Organization. State of Arizona allows taxpayers to receive dollar-for-dollar tax credit, not deduction, for payments made to recognized school tuition organizations. This allows them to provide scholarship for kids in K-12 at qualified private schools. JETCO provides a quality Jewish education to children in need at Temple Emmanuel Bell's Kindergarten, Congregation Anshe Israel's Kindergarten, the Tucson Jewish Community Center Kindergarten, and the Tucson Hebrew Academy, THA. If you pay Arizona state taxes and make your donation today before December 31st, you'll receive 100% tax credit on your Arizona state income tax. Your contributions last year helped more than 100 children receive the financial aid they needed to get a Jewish education. Join over 750 supporters who gave up to $1,000 per couple, $500 per individual as a tax credit, and got it all back in the form of reduced or refunded state income taxes. To direct your tax dollars to Jewish education today, please call 647-8442. You can do it on your credit card, 647-8442, or visit JETCO on the web at www.jetco.org. Help give the gift of Jewish education.
We continue with our Two Jewish Update on news of Jews around the world with commentary.
There was a big story last week that probably shouldn't have been so big. First, U.S. Ambassador to Belgium, Howard Gutman, caused an uproar when he suggested on December 1st that hostility among European Arabs and Muslims towards Jews was rooted in anger over the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and should be distinguished from traditional forms of anti-Semitism. Jewish groups roundly condemned his remarks. Also drew calls for his dismissal from Republican presidential frontrunners Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney. The following day, Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta stirred controversy when he told an audience at the Sabin Forum, an annual Washington conclave for American and Israeli policymakers, that Israel needs to get to the damn table to negotiate with the Palestinians and mend fences with its neighbors. The ADL expressed surprise and dismay at a speech that it said disproportionately puts the onus on Israel to overcome its isolation. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton made waves a day later at the same forum when she reportedly expressed concerns about the state of Israeli democracy. This confluence of controversies has added up to a big headache for the Obama administration's Jewish supporters and gives fodder to its critics. This is the worst weekend we've had in a while, said a Jewish Democratic activist. Each set of remarks share a common theme, said the ADL's national director, Abe Foxman, a former guest on Too Jewish. They're putting all the onus on Israel. That's with Panetta, with Hillary, and with the Belgian ambassador. It's something that we've had a problem with this administration. True enough. In his wide-ranging speech on U.S.-Israel relations, Panetta said that Israel needed to take steps to alleviate its own isolation. For example, Israel can reach out and mend fences with those who share an interest in regional stability. Countries like Turkey and Egypt, as well as Jordan, Panetta said, it's an important time to be able to develop and restore those key relationships in this crucial area. It's not impossible. If gestures are rebuked, the world will see those rebukes for what they are. That is exactly why Israel should pursue them. There was a firestorm of criticism of all of these remarks, particularly Ambassador Gutman's, Howard Gutman being the only one of the three to criticize Israel who is Jewish, and long articles were written decrying his statement that Muslim anti-Semitism is fueled by the lack of any peace process between Israel and the Palestinians. While all anti-Semitism is hateful, and none of it is actually caused by anything we Jews actually do or did, the truth is that the worse the relations are between Israel and the Palestinians, the greater the degree to which Muslim anti-Semites can flourish. Saying that is not anti-Semitic itself. It is simply noting a practical fact about politics. And of course, it bears saying that under Bibi Netanyahu, the Israeli government has proven it is very adept at playing to the U.S. Congress, but not so good at working on improving ties to the more or less reasonable countries in its own region, like Turkey, Egypt, and Jordan. Bibi has long preferred to claim that everyone else is unreasonable and hates Israel, preventing him from even having to make the gestures that might improve matters regionally. In any case, all this controversy will blow over quickly, but it's a shame that Israel seems to have no current idea of how to deal with a regional situation in a more proactive way. In unsavory news from Israel, former Israeli President Moshe Katsav entered prison in Ramla last week to begin serving a 7-year jail term for 2 counts of rape and other sexual offenses. The role of president in Israel is purely symbolic, lots of ceremonies and speeches, but no real power, but Katsav still managed to foul it up. The Israeli prison service decided to allow Katsav to initially share a cell with convicted former government minister Shlomo Ben-Israi. The prison service also agreed to Ben-Israi's request that the closed-circuit cameras not be in use during daylight time. Apparently, the Israeli prison service is trying to create an entire wing for former high-ranking government officials who have committed crimes. Of course, some would say there already is such a wing. It's called the Knesset. Just kidding. It's not that Israeli government officials are much more corrupt or immoral than American ones. It's just that they actually sometimes go to jail for their misdeeds instead of getting big book contracts and hosting television news talk shows on Fox. And finally, Israel's chief Ashkenazi rabbi Yonah Metzger last week announced the discovery of a special goose species whose liver tastes exactly like pork, and it's kosher. I am not making this up. We're looking into the possibility of industrial imports of goose, the rabbi said during a culinary conference at the Kaplan Medical Center in Rehovot, tantalizing the taste buds of every kashrut observer in Israel. The move represents a real culinary and halachic revolution, if it works out, as it offers a solution allowing religious and traditional Jews to try pork, or at least the taste of pork, obviously forbidden under Jewish kashrut laws. It turns out that farmers in Spain recently decided to breed geese in non-industrialized pasture lands. As opposed to the modern methods, they didn't fatten the geese, just gave them natural food. When the farmers tasted the first chunk of goose liver, they were amazed. "It tastes like pork," they cried out. They were not Jewish farmers. They decided to share this sensational discovery with the chosen people, sent a halachic query on Jewish law to Rabbi Metzger. The chief rabbi demanded a second opinion and asked that the goose liver be sent to 3 non-Jewish professional chefs in Europe, familiar with the taste of pork. The 3 chefs confirmed the discovery of a rare culinary duplicate. Rabbi Metzger struggled with the problem, finally gave an answer. The meat is kosher. His ruling was based on a citation from the Talmud, which states that for every prohibition God imposed on the people of Israel, he created a kosher substitute with the exact same taste. So, how close are we to a pork-flavored Shabbos meal? Metzger tried to lower expectations, saying the geese were young, the import of the meat is still being examined. "We plan to approve the move and help it happen," said Rabbi Metzger. "It could serve as an original Jewish solution for consumers of non-kosher meat. We'll be receiving a proper substitute. As for religious Jews, they will be disgusted at first, but will eventually get used to it." Now, if they could only do something about making lobster kosher. And that's the news of Jews around the world. To play in our guest's return to Too Jewish this morning, here's a song of hers from her album Higher and Higher to be performed here in Tucson at the Fox Theater on December 17th with a Baptist choir.
Lord, let me say just one word. Lord, let me say just one word.
We're delighted to welcome back to Too Jewish our guest this morning, singer Neshama Karlbach. She began her professional career with her father, Rabbi Shlomo Karlbach, may his memory be a blessing, at the ripe age of 5, and sang more regularly from the time she was 15. She's been recording for years and recently recorded really a terrific album, High and Higher, with the Green Pastures Baptist Church Choir, singing a number of Reb Shlomo's Hebrew and English songs in collaboration. Neshama, what kind of music do you like singing best?
I think I like my father's music best. I think I really do. I've been really blessed to create my own music with a number of really talented musicians, and that's a different sort of inspiration to me, to sing something that I've been a part of creating. But at the end of the day, these songs are my soul. They really are. And singing them, it takes me higher and higher. just because they're so magical and they're so whole and they're so real, and they're absolutely my favorites in the world.
When you were working with the Green Pastures Baptist Church Choir, did they ask you for interpretations? Did you talk about the Hebrew at all? How did it work?
You know, it's amazing. They're so spiritual and so plugged in, and most of these songs are prayers and psalms. They know them all. They're familiar with everything. They say, oh, yeah, psalm, blah, blah. You know, like, they just know. They know them. And sometimes we talk about meanings of things, and we talk about Torahs, and they just love it, and they're on stage and they're saying yes, amen. You know, if I ever talk on stage, they're all like, say it, girl. Hallelujah, say it. They're very, very encouraging. We got to get some of that in our schools.
Boy, you know, I've thought that myself. I was a rabbi in South Carolina, and I had more fun speaking at African American churches and at events than anything
sure.
else does. They
tell you
what they think.
Something connected about them and the way they worship that is so humbling and so inspiring. And for me to be on stage with them, feeling all of that, I say it's Kedusha. You know, where they are connected, their holiness, their intentions. It makes me feel so close to my own Judaism, almost more than if I'm standing in a room with hundreds of Jews. It's a strange feeling, but it's true.
Very interesting. How do you think your dad would feel about the collaboration?
I think you would love it. I learned from him. You know, his very first record, Hanashem Alach, he sang with the Baptist church singers of the church that he used to frequent in those days, in the 50s.
Hearing their music, and there's something really remarkable. I saw your dad perform in Jerusalem once. I think he sang two songs in about 45 mm-hmm. minutes.
Wow.
Maybe three. People were really into it. It was a Malava Malka kind of concert. It was a Saturday night, and it was a yeshiva crowd. How I got in there, I'm not exactly sure, but they weren't checking. They weren't checking my smicha at the door. I wasn't ordained yet, and he just had a way of continual. He was into that song, and everybody was into that. The few songs that he did more later, but you know, it was just repeating and repeating and repeating. It was a very interesting thing. It was a lesson in performing. Have you ever done anything like that?
No, not so much. I mean, we definitely repeat, and I've done weddings sometimes where they'll sing the same song for half an hour and just dance and dance and dance.
Right.
But in a performance, I think my father and I, we came from two different worlds when it comes to that. I have a very polished band. We rehearse, we work on our arrangements. It's very much about the presentation as well as the spirituality of it. And with my father, it was not about the polish. It wasn't about if the guitar was in tune. It wasn't about if the musicians on stage even knew the song. It was about having a collective spiritual experience, and the music was his vessel, was his way of bringing people to that point. I definitely feel that our work is a part of the healing process of the world, and I know that, and I acknowledge, and that is the driving force behind everything. I want to entertain. I want it to be amazing. So it's a different vibe with me.
Yeah, very well stated. What kinds of music interest you now?
Everything in the world interests me. Mm. It's jazz. It's songs I'm listening to on Sesame Street with my boys. It's old stuff. It's new stuff. I find every kind of music interesting, and I take so much from it. I always wish that I had more time to really just sit and listen and. I always dream that I'm playing guitar in my dreams. It's like my hands do it in my dreams, and I have never really learned. I don't play on stage, and literally weekly, I have people saying, oh, yeah, you and your guitar. People always say to me, oh, you should come with your guitar. I say, I don't play. They're like, wow, I thought you played. Because I feel like I play, but I don't ever have the time to practice with two little ones and a career. And so every kind of music interests me, and I continue to pray for the space to really explore my own artistry. It's... just not one of those times of life right now.
Well, young kids will do that too, yeah.
Apparently.
And a career. Tell me,
yes.
What pop artists have influenced you?
Sarah McLachlan, more than anybody. Sheryl Crow, Sting. I guess those are not necessarily artists who are like doing their thing at this very moment, you know, in terms of like the number one on the charts. You know, I don't really have a lot of... I love artists who express themselves with depth. I'm also very influenced by my band. They're the most fabulous musicians in the world, and every single thing that they play just, it changes me a little bit in the moment.
How do you do your arrangements? Do you go in there with an idea? Who makes the choices? How do you work? Because it's a collaborative process, right?
Yes, it's all a collaborative process, and sometimes there have been times where I have an idea and then I present it to, you know, all the different people, the Reverend. We sit around a piano, we work it through, we record it, it changes. Sometimes people have worked on, my producers have worked on music without me being there. Sometimes the Reverend has an idea. Sometimes organically on stage, something will change. My bass player is an amazing musician named Dave Richards, and sometimes he'll just say, oh, I have an idea. You know, he does this very often. I have an idea, and it's like sort of a kernel of an idea, and it changes everything, and something new is born. It's pretty tremendous. So all kinds of ways. There's no set formula. I think it's just when you find the right way to express a song, it feels right for everybody.
All right, so here's a question all singers struggle with. What's your favorite song, or what are your favorite songs that you've performed?
At this moment, when it comes to work with a choir, the song Higher and Higher really, really speaks to me. Speaks to me every time we sing it, speaks to me when I hear it on the recording. When we were recording that song and before the choir was even on it, I had this amazing dream, like this awakening, sort of in an awake space of every person in the world singing that song. Like the little fishermen in China and the punk rocking kids on the subway in the UK and, you know, the Hasidim in Borough Park and everybody knowing the same language and singing the song together. My father used to talk about how when we came out of Egypt and the sea split, how the people of Israel were singing Az Yashir. They were singing the same song with the same words at the same time, and it was all one voice. And when God created the world, he didn't say, let there be light, let there be cows. He said, he just, every single blade of grass and every leaf and every tree had their own song. And as God was creating the world, it was like an orchestra. And by the time Adam and Eve came into the world, it was infused with so much music. And he said that when the world will eventually be redeemed, whenever that moment happens, we will know because everyone will be singing one song together. And there's something about Higher and Higher that I always feel can do that. If there's one song that I've ever heard, that I've ever personally experienced from a stage perspective, from an audience perspective even, that can do that to the world, it is this song. Maybe we'll play it for everybody now that I've talked about it.
Of course.
It was really, it's a tremendous experience, and whenever we sing it, the room is exploding, and my drummer, my manager, Mark Ambrosino, he always says, we're levitating, and there's no other way to describe it. It's a tremendous moment for me with this music.
It's an incredibly beautiful description from your dad's story to sort of extending it to the whole universe, everything singing the same song.
Yes, because we can't do it alone. You know, the problem with the world is that everybody is so segregated and we're all in our own boxes, and like the Jews won't go into a church and the African Americans won't go into a synagogue and these people won't listen to that music. And of course, we're all entitled to our options and our choices and our preferences, but it keeps us from each other. And it's not even about, oh, I like this music, or I don't like this one, or I believe in this God and you believe in that God. There has to be some kind of universal opening, or there is no redemption for any of us of any kind, color, background. We will not be redeemed. We will not have wholeness and peace unless it is all happening for all of us at the same time.
May it happen for all of us at the same time, speedily and soon. B'mheirovi,
amen. Amen.
I want to thank Neshama Karbach for a fabulous visit on Too Jewish. You can hear more about the show she's doing here in Tucson, but you can also find out a great deal about her from her website, which is, can you give us the call?
Yes, neshamakarlibach.com.
And it's a great website, by the way. NeshamaKarlibach.com.
Awesome.
Neshama, thanks again. Looking forward to seeing you soon.
Very excited. Thank you for the interview.
When we come back, we'll hear about next week's guest, get a final musical play out here on Too Jewish.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox, is second to none. From traditional services to the unique,
Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
Thanks for being here with us this morning on Too Jewish with me, Rabbi Sam Kohan. Join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. Our guest will be David Makovsky, director of the Washington Institute for Near East Policy and author of Myths, Illusions, and Peace. And of course, listen to all of our podcasts on iTunes or our TooJewishRadio.com website. And please friend us on Facebook, or like us anyway. Our playout this morning comes from our pre-Hanukkah musical preview. It's the classic Israeli song Mi Malel, but performed as a power ballad by Craig Taubman with an unannounced guest shot by cantor Alberto Mizrahi. A lot of fun. My friends, may you be blessed with a Shavua Tov, a good week, and a week, we pray, of peace.
Em de kodor yakum hagibor goel. Who can retell the things that befell us? Who can count them? In every age a hero or sage came to our aid.